Good morning.
Good
It is good to see everybody here. What a blessed and beautiful day. And today, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of John, the 12th chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 15. Today's sermon is Palm Sunday. It's part of God's plan. And we know that it is. We know what Palm Sunday is. And I love the decorations this morning, the palm leaves that are throughout the front of the church and the flowers. It's just beautiful. Like to see that. So those of you who can stand, please stand as I read from God's Word. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today as we reflect upon Palm Sunday, the days before the crucifixion, we're so thankful that you had a plan and that that plan was carried out by your son Jesus. And we are so thankful that each and every day we have the freedom to worship and serve you, Lord. And God, I pray today that through this message, that our hearts will be quickened, dear God, to praise you and to worship you each and every day of our lives and to keep our eyes on you for everything. Because God, you're our strength, you're our Redeemer, our Deliverer, and our mighty fortress. And as I preach this message, let every word come from your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So you might even ask yourself today, well, just what is Palm Sunday? Well, we know that it is the Sunday before the crucifixion that took place on Friday. And the name for Palm Sunday was taken from the palm branches because, look back a little bit in history here. What's going on as Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem? The people of Jerusalem had heard he was coming, and they had taken, and also if you read in other accounts of the Gospels in the New Testament, they had also laid their clothing out as Jesus was coming, but they also laid palm leaves down because they had heard that Jesus was coming. And I often wonder, what would it be like today if we as Christians heard that Jesus was coming to our place? What would our actions be? What would we do to serve and praise the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And so they were there to greet Jesus, and it's very important because all of the events at this time had instigated the public crucifixion of Jesus. John 12:23 even says, well, Jesus said, the hour has come. So God had a plan. And we knew that that plan started the moment that Adam and Eve sinned. There was separation from God. There was no way that we could get to God the Father. There was no really sacrifice right at that moment. But God knew, and Jesus, his son, knew that he was the only perfect sacrifice. So the plan was put into action. So when Jesus was born, a king became a servant, and that servant lived a sinless life. He was the only one that walked the face of this earth that knew no sin in the human flesh, and that was Jesus. And Jesus was a teacher, and he was a servant to so many people. He touched lives. And there were so many things that Jesus had done that actually caused people to basically hate him or be angry with him. And I'm going to look at five things this morning that led up to the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, we know that God was working according to a plan. The crucifixion was purposed, it was planned, arranged, and fulfilled right down to the last detail as God had foreordained. And I'm going to go over to Acts chapter 2, and I want to read scripture there real quick. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. So there in verse 23, it even says that a determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. So we know that God had this planned, ordained. If God didn't have this planned, ordained, do you realize what a troubled spot we would be in right now as human beings? If Jesus had never died, we would have no hope. Basically, there would be no purpose in life if Jesus had never died upon the cross. I have always said that we should have been the ones to have paid for the sin of man, but it was the perfect Son of God who came and paid that price. So I want us to stop and think for just a moment. That's why these people were excited that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. He was the one that was going to die on the cross. He was the Savior, and he had just performed the miracle over in Bethany of raising Lazarus from the dead. See, Lazarus had been sick, and you know that Jesus had been on another journey, and he waited 3 days to come to Bethany, because we know that God is always on time every time. Everything works out according to his plan. And he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And when Lazarus had been raised from the dead, this is what happened. It caused a lot of the Jewish people to turn from what they believed, and they were starting to believe on Jesus. Now, I want you to know this. Not every Jewish person today believes upon Jesus. Did you know that? Not every Jew today believes in Jesus. They don't believe he's the Son of God. And there are a lot of Jews that do believe Jesus is the Son of God, and they do believe in the crucifixion. But not only the Jewish, but there's people today right here in the United States of America and all around the world who have never heard this good news. They don't know about the love of Jesus. There's a lot of people who have heard it, and they don't believe. But these Jews, what had happened to Lazarus, they started to believe in the Lord. And it's all because of the actions of Jesus, his ministry. And in the same way, we have a calling into ministry, you and I. A lot of people have always said over the years, well, that's the pastor's job or the preacher's job to go do the ministry part. Well, no. It's actually a part for all of us. If we are Christians, we are involved in ministry. The things that we do for God, did you know that is a ministry? Reaching out to people in the world, when we feed somebody, when we pray with someone, when we go and share the good news, we have ministered to them. And we should go with the purpose of winning that person's heart and life over to the Lord. Now, we know that only God can save these people, and that we know that God takes care of the seed that's been planted. It's nothing of our own doing. But we go and we sow the seed, hoping that in return that people will give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. I know that on Friday evening, I never know what God's going to do. But Friday evening, we were sitting in Cracker Barrel at Paducah, and I was telling Leonard, boy, I'd finished off a plate of biscuits and gravy. I was thinking about him, too. And I just finished off my dinner, and I was reflecting on what happened prior when we just sat down. What happened was the waitress came and brought our coffee and poured it, and there was a lady sitting at a table behind us, and she was by herself. And I just felt quickened in my spirit to say hello to her and say, God bless you, ma'am. She got it from her table, and right when she got right alongside of where Janine was sitting, she looked over at us, and about the same time, we said hello to one another. And I said, God bless you, ma'am. I hope you have a blessed evening. And she smiled the biggest smile, and she said, thank you. I appreciate that. And she said, you have a blessed evening too. And she walked on past us, and I was just excited, because anytime God does something like that, a lot of people may not, I guess, I'm just wired that way. Things like that excite me. And so I'm thinking of the fellowship we just had. It was just a quick passing thing, but it's something that could go for a lifetime. But as she walked out of Cracker Barrel, here we are sitting at the table, and she's walking down that sidewalk going past the window, and she looked through the window toward us, and she was smiling. And I thought, wow, just that one quick moment. You know, there could have been something going on in her life, maybe something she had been dealing with, and I don't know about it, and I don't need to know about it. But God put me there as a witness. God put me there as an encouragement that when, and then Janine had smiled and said hi to her as well. And then the rest of the evening, there was such a peace. Now, while we were down there, there was the threat of the tornado, and everybody had closed up shop pretty early and had gone home already. There was a few places still open, but we weren't really thinking about the storm or the tornado, but we were thinking about the goodness of God. So I'm saying that because I want us to think, God's done so much for us. Do we really take the time to thank Him? Do we really take into consideration Palm Sunday? Do we take into consideration Easter Sunday? Do we really take into consideration the birth or the death on the cross? Do we take consideration of all of that? Do we really stop and reflect on the fact that in our lives, if it wasn't for God's plan being carried out, then we wouldn't have any hope if that plan had never been carried. But because it has happened, you and I have an eternity in heaven. We are no longer condemned. The world may look at us funny for the way that we talk and do things, and that's quite all right. Because I will pray for the people of the world, hoping that their heart and their life will be turned around and they will see the goodness of God. I want my life to be a witness and a reflection. There's been times that I have failed. But in those failed moments, I have got to say, okay, Lord, you have a plan. And I want to carry out that plan. And I failed today, but I'm not going to let it stop me. You know how the old saying goes, when you fall off a horse, what do? You get back on and you just ride again. Dust yourself off. Get on that horse and get after it. So in the Christian life, God has a plan for us, and we have got to know the Father's plan. We have to be obedient to it, just like Jesus was. See, Jesus was totally compliant to being born and to facing the persecution and the suffering and being beaten and nailed to a cross. He was totally compliant to it. Now, he said in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying, he did say, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." Because how many of you would really be looking forward to being beaten and nailed to a cross? I mean, if the idea hits your mind that you're about to face something like that, are you going to feel good about it at that moment? Probably not. I know I wouldn't. But Jesus said, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." I think of those as some of the most golden words right there. So in our life, God has a plan. And in that plan, we have to say, "Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done." So right here in America, I've always heard a lot of people say, "I would love to go to another country and be a missionary and tell someone about Jesus." Well, I'm usually quick to say, "Well, what about here? What about where you're at?" I think I told you a couple weeks ago, we were walking out of a Tuesday night church thing at a church in Marion. We were listening to a guy speak, and there's two signs, one on each post, says, "You are now entering your mission field." And I like that. So when we're leaving God's house of worship, see, we're the church. As we leave God's house of worship, we're going into a mission field. God has a plan for your life. God has given every one of us different talents and abilities. God has purposed something for us, and God wants us to seek Him for that. And when we are seeking the Lord each and every day, God wants us to focus on today of His plan. See, Jesus wasn't thinking about tomorrow or the next week. Jesus was always thinking about here and now. What do we got to do? So, Lord, today is here. What do you want me to do? What is your will for my life? Who do I need to go minister to? Who do I need to be a witness before? Do I need to read my Bible more? Do I need to spend time in prayer more? What is your plan, Father, for my life? And do you know that when we spend this type of time with God, He will open up before us and He'll start to show us and He'll speak to your heart through His Word. I've always asked, or I've even said it myself. I've often said, "Boy, I sure would love to hear God's voice just speak out loud to me." And I've heard people say, "He does speak to you." And I'm going, "Why?" They'd say, "Have you opened your Bible lately?" Going, "Well, yeah, I read my Bible." And somebody said to me, "Well, God spoke to you then. If you've read the Word, God spoke to you." So now I've found myself having gained from wisdom from my young days that when somebody says, "Boy, I wish God would just speak to us." Well, I say, "Well, okay, have you read your Bible? Open God's Word and read it, and He will speak to you." Because this Word is God-inspired and God-breathed. It came straight from Him, every word. Genesis to Revelations, we are not to add to it. We are not to take away from it. We are not to take it and rearrange it in any way, shape, or form. What is in these pages is from God, and we are to accept it as it is. This is God's plan. Now, one day, we were having a funeral service, and I heard a guy talking. And he was mentioned, he said, "The Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth." I'd never had heard it that way. People come up with these little things like that, and I never had heard that before. And I thought, that's pretty neat. Basic instructions before leaving earth. So, we should be in this Word daily. That's part of God's plan for our life, that we get close to Him. If we're not close to God, then we're not going to be able to walk in what He has set before us. And as I said, Jesus was very aware and compliant to His Father's plan. Jesus made statements at least a year before the crucifixion happened. Jesus knew what, when, and why He would be crucified. He knew that He had to die for us. If And I'm just going to give you the scripture. You can read it a little later. Matthew 16:21. If you want to write it down, you can read that later. Because it mentions, Jesus is mentioning his crucifixion, Matthew 16:21. But the five things that instigated God's plan, number one was the raising of Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, verses 46 through 50. Jesus went and raised Lazarus from the dead. And there were people who were just angered by this. They didn't know what to think. They see this man raising somebody up from the dead, and they were going around saying, well, this guy claims to be a prophet. This guy claims to be the Son of God. And he's raising people from the dead. Who is he? A lot of people used to think that Jesus was just someone running around doing mockery of God. And then when Jesus entered Jerusalem as we celebrate Palm Sunday, he was being praised as Messiah and King. And it angered a lot of people. Then there was the cleansing of the temple. Does anybody remember the cleansing of the temple, what it was? When Jesus had gone into the temple, there were people in the temple that were buying and selling, and they were exchanging money, and they were making a place of worship a den of thieves. And Jesus had taken... Now, imagine this. Jesus, the Son of God. And I've had people ask me, did Jesus ever get angry? Right there. If you read about him cleansing the temple, Jesus went into that temple and he overturned the money changers' tables, and with that whip, he drove people out. And he told them, you have taken a place of worship and made it a den of thieves. So, if we think about where we gather to worship, then I want us to reflect for a moment. If we come into this house to worship, where should our hearts and our minds be at? Well, they sure don't need to be out on the problems that's going on in our life, or what happened yesterday, or what we think of somebody else, or what we might have heard through the gossip vine. Our hearts and our minds and our attitudes, when we come into a house of worship, is we should be fixed and steadfast on the Lord. We should be coming through those doors expecting to receive from Him. Because see, when we lift up the name of the Lord and when we worship and sing to Him, and I love singing from the hymn book because everything out of that hymn book has been inspired from Scripture. Have you ever looked in the hymnal and seen where the song came from, the Scripture? I love that. And that's why I'm stuck to the old hymnals. I love them. And when we sing those hymns, I'm not singing it so someone hears my voice and says, well, he's got a pretty voice or a pretty terrible voice. I'm not singing to please anybody, really. But I am singing to praise and uplift my God, my Savior. That's what I'm here for. So when he cleansed the temple, again, he made a lot of people angry. And he also taught on the disobedience of Jewish leaders in Matthew 21, and I do want to read this scripture real quick. Losing some of my stuff. Matthew chapter 21, verses starting in verse 33 through 46. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took the servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will never be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. Now, right there, when Jesus was teaching on disobedience of Jewish leaders, they were thinking right there that he was speaking of them. And they were, these folks, again, angered by Jesus' teaching. And then the betrayal by Judas. And we know that because in the 26th chapter of Matthew, Jesus had been betrayed by Judas, who was one of the 12. And Jesus had even called it out to Judas that he would betray him. And you remember that what Judas done, Judas had gone to the chief priest and basically made a deal with them. I'll tell you where Jesus is, where you can find him, but I want something in return. And you remember what they gave him? 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. For the life of Jesus. He betrayed Judas, who had walked with Jesus as a disciple, is basically now being the tattletale. Well, here's where you find him. What do I get in return? He got money in return. Boy, to me, that'd be a big slap in the face. What do you think? That'd be a pretty big slap in the face. That was a big slap in the face to Jesus. And it was only then that after some time, and Judas really thought about it, he realized that he had accepted money for innocent blood. He realized what he had done. And Judas had taken the money back to the chief priest and said, here, let's undo the whole deal. Just undo it. Forget all about it. And the chief priests were like, nope, this can't be undone. All part of God's plan. All part of God's plan. Because you know what Jesus said hanging on the cross to those who betrayed him and despised him and used him and persecuted against him? Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pretty strong words right there. How many of us, as part of God's plan. See, people are going to hurt us. People are going to make fun of us. They're going to use us. People are going to turn their back on you. They're going to say all kind of things about you. It even happens in churches. It really does. I'm not pointing fingers at nobody, but it does happen in churches. And I'm hoping today, and you know who's guilty of saying things at times that he shouldn't have said about someone in the church? This guy right here. I'm not afraid to say it. I will say it. There's been times I've had deacons or somebody do something just made me so mad, and I couldn't wait to tell someone else about it because I thought, it'll make me feel better. And you know what it did? It created a bee's nest. And I learned from my stupid ways to keep my mouth shut. My grandma used to tell me, boy, when I was a young preacher, keep your mouth shut. She said, you need to be humble and love. Boy, when I got rubbed against some stone, I was like, it's kind of hard to love. It's hard for me to be humble with these ones I'm dealing with, Lord. But through all of God's plan, I can clearly see if Jesus forgave them all and died on the cross, then I need to give my life for those who hate me. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to be nailed to a cross, but what I mean is I need to go to that person and share with them the love of Jesus Christ. See, what happened here, part of God's plan, this part of God's plan, it was meant that we as a generation would carry it on and that we would pass it on down and that we would train others. That's our job as a church. You know, a preacher preaches the Word so that we all know the Word and that we can go beyond these walls and we can disciple others. We're to uphold and uplift one another just as Jesus did. That was part of God's plan. We are to love. We are not to mock and ridicule, but oh, I tell you what, this old human brain and this tongue gets in the way so many times. And this fellow here has been guilty of it, but I have asked God for forgiveness after each time. And I know God's forgiven me, and I've always had to ask the Lord, help me not to repeat the same mistakes again. I don't want to do it, Lord. Please, help me love. Let me look at someone through the eyes of Jesus. Let me see their heart as you see it, Lord. Because I know I can make a difference by your power and your love. Nothing of my own, but only by His. God's plan was to save mankind through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross at Jerusalem. Salvation, it's not an option. It's something that we must do. Jesus is the only way to God. And today is the day of salvation.